a man or a woman after God's own heart. Please, I'm serious. I mean, how many do you want? Okay, let's pray. Lord, you saw these hands. We just come to you and say, we want to be people after your own heart. Grant that prayer, I pray. In Christ's name, I pray it. Amen. Now, what I had said I was going to share is, how do we change to become like Christ? And I'd like to share on that topic, but before I do, we'll sing three songs that are choruses. We're going to sing them a cappella. And the first song is Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen in Me. So if you want to stand, you can. How many of you know this song? Okay, if you don't know it, maybe you'll know it when done. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his glorious passion and purity. O thou Spirit divine, cleanse and make holy thine, till the beauty of Jesus is seen in me. One more time. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his glorious passion and purity. O thou Spirit divine, cleanse and make holy thine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. How many want to have the beauty of Jesus in their life? Okay. Someone shared with me on the VN weekend that her grandmother was a beautiful, Christ-like person. And she said, I have a great heritage from her. And I know of others like that. And God wants to make us all like that. Now, we're changing to be like Christ. It's a lifetime process. It's begun when we're born again. And then we begin to walk with the Lord and we change. So I'd like to sing the next song. From glory to glory, he's changing me. From glory to glory, he's changing me, changing me, changing me. His likeness and image to perfect in me, the love of God shown to the world, for he's changing, changing me from earthly things to the heavenly, his likeness and image to perfect in me, the love of God shown to the world. We'll do it one more time. From glory to glory, he's changing me, changing me, changing me. From earthly things to the heavenly, the love of God shown to the world, for he's changing, changing me. From earthly things to the heavenly, his likeness and image to perfect in me, the love of God shown to the world. If you've been following Jesus for some time, you should be able to look back and see that you've changed. Now, sometimes we can't see it when you say, like, yesterday I really messed up, so I feel like I'm not changing. That's an emotional look. But if you look at your life after some time, you see there are ways I've changed, and you should take encouragement from that. The last song I'd like to sing is a little chorus called To Be Like Jesus. That's not the one. Oh, it's not here? Okay, well, we'll do without it. It goes like this. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like him, all through life's journey, from earth to glory, all I ask, to be like him. We'll do it again. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like him, all through life's journey, from earth to glory, all I ask, to be like him. Now, what I'd like to do, because it's 8 o'clock, and I want to let us go at 8:30. It's 8:05, so I'm not going to speak a long time, but I will give you everything I was going to say and leave it for you to do the homework. So I would like you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And in these verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, which I will read without saying a lot about them, I'm going to read from chapter 3, verse 1, and into chapter 4 to verse 6. So it's a chapter and six verses. But these verses here are referencing back to two chapters in the book of Exodus, which I'll tell you about. So read with me. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on your hearts to be known and read by all men. You show that you are a letter from Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So those chapters in Exodus are going to be about the giving of the Ten Commandments, but it's the second giving of the stones. And remember, when Moses came down, he saw the golden calf, and he smashed the Ten Commandments on to destroy the idol. And then later, the Lord had him go back on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was given the tablets again. They were tablets of stone. But Paul here, by the Holy Spirit, is speaking about the tablet of flesh, of a human heart. That's your table. God is writing on your heart. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to claim anything is coming from ourselves. Our sufficiency is from God, who has qualified us to be ministers of a new covenant, not in a written code, but in the Spirit. Not for the written code kills, but the Spirit gives life. Remember the old covenant was the covenant of the law. And the new covenant is not the covenant of the law, it's the covenant of the Spirit. Now, verse 7, now if the dispensation of death carved in letters on stone came with such splendor that the Israelites could not look at Moses' face because of its brightness, fading as this was, why shouldn't the dispensation of the Spirit be attended with greater splendor? For if there was splendor in the dispensation of condemnation, the dispensation of righteousness must exceed it in splendor. Indeed, in this case, what once had splendor has come to have no splendor at all compared to the splendor that surpasses it. For if what faded away came with splendor, what is permanent must have much greater splendor. Now, what Paul is writing about, he's referring back to Exodus 33 and 34. Evan will write these verses down so you can see them. They're Exodus 33. Now, you could read all of those chapters, but I save you some time. and start in Exodus 33, verse 7, and then go to Exodus 34, verse 8, and then pick it up again in Exodus 34, verse 29, and read to the end of the chapter, verse 35. So those are two chunks out of Exodus 33 and 34. But what we read there is that when Moses went up on the mountain, the Lord spoke to him, said, come up, I'm going to give you the tablets again. And Moses says, Lord, show me your glory. And the Lord said, I'll put you in a cleft in the rock, and I'll declare my goodness before you and proclaim my name, the Lord. But you cannot see my face, for man cannot see me and live. So, I mean, that should be very serious for us, how awesome God is, that we cannot see God and live. Now, there's a spiritual meaning of that. If you want to see God, you must die. And we do want to see God. We just sang that three times, to be like Jesus. And it's by seeing what Jesus is like that we change to be like Jesus. But there's this problem. Something has to die when we see Jesus. And that's our old carnal nature has to be put to death. Now, Jesus put the old self, the old nature, to death on the cross, and we are living out the denying of the flesh in our daily life. And in doing that, the thing that blocks us from seeing Jesus is being removed. And then in chapter 34, he's told, come up, I'm going to give you two more tablets like the first. And then the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, which Andrew spoke about. David cried out, Lord, wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Take away my sin. Who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste. Now, those verses we just read are repeated at least seven times in the scriptures of what God's nature is. And the emphasis is on God's mercy, God's forgiving, his being gracious, slow to anger. But he says he will also not look away forever. So he won't be angry forever either. So it's God's nature, and Moses is seeing that. And God said to Moses, you can only look on my backside. You can't see my face. So this is the backside of God, God's mercy. Now, it's a wonderful thing. His backside is a wonderful thing. To see his front side is even more wonderful. And we see that Moses is up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. And at the end of that chapter, that second chunk that I gave you to read, it says that when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, he didn't know that the skin of his face shone because he'd been talking with God. How many of you had ever seen something that glows in the dark? Like some watches, the letters will glow, or some keychain holders are glow in the dark. What? Glow sticks? No, glow sticks are different. They emit light. I'm talking about something that absorbs light and releases it again. So, what's that? Jellyfish. I don't know. Oh, real jellyfish. I don't know. I've never... I know if you shine UV on my jellyfish and encased in lucite, it's quite pretty. So, a really good luminescent watch, when you shine light on it, if it's really, really good, it'll glow all night, which is how long you need it, because by the next day you have sunlight again. But most watches, you shine the light on them, and they're good for maybe a half hour, which is not really very useful unless if you want to see something more than a half hour later. Well, when we spend time in the Lord's presence, we will start to glow with his presence, with his nature, like Moses did. Moses was in a very special exposure to God, 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai. But if you want to change to be like Jesus, you need to spend time with him. There's no shortcut. We need to behold the glory of the Lord, and then that glory will shine out of our lives. And this is what the world needs. The world needs to see Jesus in us. So, and you get a chance, read those passages. We'll go further in 2 Corinthians 3. Not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the Israelites might not see the end of the fading splendor. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when a man turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. You should understand that Paul is writing this in the early years of the church, that Christ had his earthly ministry, and then Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses first in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And it began to unfold like that. But what happened with the Jewish authorities, just as they rejected Christ, they also rejected the gospel message of the early church. And the gospel message was preached. It was a burden on Paul's heart in a tremendous way. He says, Romans 9, my heart's desire is that my countrymen would receive their Messiah. So he is writing this saying there's a veil over the Jewish believers, the Old Testament believers. They hear the words, but they can't see the glory. They just kind of, there's a blockage. And I have thought this many times, that the word is preached, and I look out over a congregation, I can see some, the word is going in their heart, and some, they're there, but they're not there. The word comes to them, and it's, to them it's just words. In fact, they don't think the words have any meaning, because they look at their watch, or they drink coffee, or read their phone, or whatever they do, but they think, when will this be over? That's the thought. It happens even at funeral services when somebody's preaching the gospel. In the moment where you're talking about eternity, and people are like, when will this be over? There's a veil over the heart. But when a man turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. I've seen when the veil got lifted on some people. When they got saved, in that moment, there's something happened that all of a sudden, things that had never gotten through, got through and came to life. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. We're set free from sin, we're set free from self. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I hope you write that word on your heart. We all beholding the glory of the Lord. When you see what Jesus is like, it changes you. When you really see what Jesus is like, there is a response that says, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like him. And then, see, what holds us back from changing to be like Jesus is we want something else more. Something else is more precious to us than knowing Jesus. Something is more precious to us than being like Jesus. It might be your career, it might be your pleasures, it might be your cares of this world, but something else is higher. When we see the Lord and have that desire to be like him, there's a yearning and a change that takes place by the Spirit. And from glory to glory, we're changed. Just finishing out in chapter 4, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not grow discouraged. We have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice deceitful ways or tamper with God's words. And by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the likeness of God. When Jesus was here in his earthly ministry, there were people who could not see who he was. And there are other people who could see who he was. Some were blind, and some could see it. It's still like that today. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. So when you give your life to Christ, you're called to become his servant. And then you're called to become the servant of all people. You're the servant of the lost, and you're servant of the brothers and sisters. You are not living for yourself. You're fulfilling the great commandment and the second great commandment. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. You're no longer living for you. You're free from that. Your Spirit of the Lord is there is freedom. For it is the God who said, let light shine out of darkness. What's that a reference to? Creation, right? Let there be light. That's a reference. Who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I hope this has touched you. I hope it touches us all. Let's pray. Lord, we want to see Jesus. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord. I want to see you. Lord, help us to love you, to be amazed at your beauty. Lord, to aspire to be like you, which we can never do, but that's what your Spirit does in us. Lord, touch every heart here. Thank you for the words we've heard tonight, both the words of conviction and the words of encouragement. And Lord, you called the Old Testament the dispensation of condemnation, and you called the New Covenant the dispensation of righteousness. And it has a greater glory. May we see that glory. May we really prize it, Lord. Lord, make us, Lord, a light wherever we go, the light of Christ shining out. Shine into our hearts and shine out from us. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you all. I think we can be dismissed.